Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now the Russ Belville Show. Streaming at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
Called America. The weekend home for truly radical progressives. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Russ Belville Show. Glad to have you here for 2 hours of jam-packed excitement here in political talk radio. It's talk radio for the masses, for the common people, just you and me, the average working folks, trying to get by in George W. Bush's neocon nightmare. The phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. That's 888-772-3422. You can call us and give us a piece of your mind. Let the whole continent know how you feel. Also, our email address is radicalruss@gmail.com, and the website is radicalruss.com. All right, and also coming to us from across the pond, taking your calls in Washington, D.C., our representative of Her Royal Highness the Queen, a man who thinks some of my monologues are a load of cobblers and some of the dog's bollocks, and Bob's your uncle, a right cheeky gent who fancies his easy-peasy job behind the boards, our favorite immigrant worker, Stevie Lee. Stevie, welcome back.
Cool blimey, Governor. Apples and pears, plates of meat, and other colorful Cockney affectations.
Glad to have you back here.
Glad to be back. What can I say?
Oh, how's everything going over there in D.C. over on the East Coast?
D.C. is sunny, and there's the usual smell emanating from the Capitol. But, you know, after you live here for a while, you kind of get used to it.
I think that smell is the smell of the Constitution burning.
Yes, that's it. That's it. I think they're trying to, hamburger or hot dog. We're going to cook whatever you like on it.
That's right. Hey, I had to ask you a question. Sure. You being my European correspondent, you might understand this better than me. George W. Bush, our selected president, was at the G8 summit. This was his last G8 summit, the group of eight, you know, powerful nations in the world. And I caught this little part where Bush was running up to greet Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi.
Yes.
And as he's running up to greet him, he says, "Amigo, amigo."
Oh. That's not the worst of it. Bush thought the G8 summit was a vegetable juice.
Oh, I could have had a G8. Yeah. Here's where I needed your help, though, because I was catching the story about this in the UK Independent, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you want to catch any real news anymore, you have to get it from a British paper. And here's the two paragraphs, and I understood the first one, and the second one didn't really fly by me. I didn't quite understand what they were getting at. He says, as he prepared to fly out from Japan, he told his fellow leaders, quote, "Goodbye from the world's biggest polluter," end quote.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Bush leaving, you know, after saying we're not going to sign on to any sort of, you know, global climate change agreements of any kind.
Yeah.
And then in this paragraph, I didn't understand it. Maybe it's a British thing. I said, President Bush made the private joke in the summit's closing session, senior sources said yesterday. And here's this troubling part to me. His remarks were taken as a two-fingered salute from the president from Texas who was wedded to the oil industry.
Ah, yes.
What is he, a Boy Scout now? Two-fingered salute.
No, the two-fingered salute is a British version of flipping the bird, basically. Also known as flicking the V's.
I see.
Yes.
So he wasn't trying to say peace in our time, right?
No. He turned it the other way around. He was basically saying, I can't actually say it on the air.
You can't say it on the air, can you?
Use your imagination, America.
Okay, well, I think we got that figured out. All right. Well, that's our leader of this country is appointed by the Supreme Court, representing us in front of all the other nations of the world with dignity, class, and charm.
Gosh.
All right. Well, I
I never thought I'd know anybody or know of anybody who made me think, my goodness, here is a slightly worse ambassador than Prince Philip.
Who'd have thought that was possible?
Seriously.
Well, you know, I know there's a lot of stories that are going on we got to get to. It's been a busy week, and a lot of you are like me. You work a full-time job for a living, or maybe two or three, and you don't always have time to catch up on the newspaper or the evening news. So at the top of the Russ Belville Show, I help you catch up on the week's hottest news topics with
The Week in 90 seconds.
Former White House spokesbot and Fox News host Tony Snow has died from cancer.
The only regret is that I'm not able to stay longer.
The Senate, including Barack Obama and 20 Democrats, vote to gut the Fourth Amendment and protect Bush and the telecoms that illegally spied on you.
That's what the issue is here. The rule of law or the rule of men?
George W. Bush signs the new FISA bill, finally proving Tricky Dick Nixon right after all of these years.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
John W. McCain's chief economic advisor says we're just in a mental recession.
We've sort of become a nation of whiners.
Karl Rove is subpoenaed to testify to the House Judiciary Committee. The International Red Cross says the Cheney-Burton maladministration committed torture and may be guilty of war crimes.
Any activity we conduct is within the law. We do not torture.
Iran scares the world with some missile test fires and some Photoshop.
That old Beach Boys song, Bomb Iran.
Jesse Jackson scares Michelle Obama with threats to her love life.
Pulling down the black people on those faith base.
DNA tests prove JonBenet Ramsey's family had nothing to do with her death. Iraq's leaders say they want us to get out of their country.
If they were to say leave, we would leave.
And Green Bay Packers quarterback Brett Favre says he's unretiring and may play for a different team next season. What? Oh, my God. No, Brett. No, 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 no. I'm a little bit upset about this one. God, this would just be awful. This would, you know, Brett Favre played his whole career except for his first year at Green Bay, retired as the only three-time MVP, the passing leader in almost every statistical category. If he does something like this, this would be like Joe Montana leaving for the Chiefs, or Jerry Rice leaving for the Seahawks, or Emmitt Smith leading for the Cardinals. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, darn it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through the NFL season, Stevie. This is going to be if Brett Favre comes back and plays for Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago, Dallas, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Seattle, Indianapolis, Tennessee, New Orleans, Carolina, Houston, or Jacksonville, I'll be stuck with the problem of having to choose to root for the Packers or for Brett Favre in a football game, and I'm afraid I just might explode. I'm afraid it's going to be like that scene in the movie Scanners where the guy's head just blows right up. I don't know if I can handle it. You know, this is crazy. That's sports. You know, that's the way it goes. But, you know, we got other things to talk about here. And, of course, one of the big things that we got going on is that comment by Phil Gramm, who is the advisor for the John W. McCain campaign, the economic advisor, saying that us poor people here, us people living in poverty, us people working to get by, we're just in a mental recession. We just, it's all in our mind. It's all psychological. You know that $4.25 you're paying at the pump? It's all in your head. Come on. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But coming up in the next couple of segments, this is kind of this is a first for the Russ Belville Show. We got two different interviews today. Coming up in our next segment, we're going to be speaking with Jay Lakin from Poker Source Online, who's an expert in the internet gambling world, and talk about the latest changes to some laws and what's coming up with the upcoming World Series and so on as it relates to internet gambling. And then I am so happy about this for our third segment today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, my first real celebrity interview. I'm stunned about this. This is just great. I've got Harry Shearer coming on the show. And thank you. We got Harry Shearer coming on the show. And, of course, you know Harry Shearer from The Simpsons. You know, he does about, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 voices on The Simpsons. He does Ned Flanders and Mr. Burns. Excellent. You know, he does all those voices.
Excellent.
That's right. And also, you know, you've seen him in numerous movies. Of course, the all-time great Spinal Tap. He was Derek Smalls, the bass player in Spinal Tap, and also, you know, in A Mighty Wind and all sorts of other movies. Harry Shearer will be joining us to talk about censorship. He's got a new album out, and the Clear Channel Corporation, which owns billboards and radio stations all over the country, Clear Channel has banned his album cover from being on any of their billboards. He'll tell you all about it at the bottom of the hour. And then, of course, at the end of this hour, we'll be getting into our lunatic fringe. We got all sorts of lunatic fringery going on, including that Phil Graham comment. And then in our second hour, we'll take a look at Living in America. In our Living in America segment, we're going to dig deep into the mental recession and just see how psychologically affected are we here in this country as far as this mental recession. In Under the Radar, a story that's not getting a lot of play, but it definitely needs some play, the story of military evangelism. That's right, Christian evangelism in the military and the mistreatment of soldiers who won't adhere to the Christian faith. It's pretty shocking. You want to stay tuned for that. And, of course, all of your calls here at 888-7-RADICAL, 888-772-3422, coming up later on in the show. So let's also, you know, there was a few other things here that I wanted to talk about, and one of these had to do with our freedom of speech. You know, I come at the beginning of the show with the little clip about, you know, free speech zone that we call America. And one of the things that's just most troubling about this Cheney-Burton-Mal administration over the past, you know, 7.5 years is how they've restricted our political speech, you know, where they have the free speech zones. You know, if the president shows up somewhere, you have to be in a pen half a mile away where he can't see you in order to have an opinion. Or if you wear a T-shirt or a button that might have a contrary political phrase on it, you're going to get kicked out of the meeting or the event, whatever it might be. And sadder than that is just how the American people haven't, you know, revolted over this, how they haven't, you know, come up in arms about not being able to petition our government for a redress of grievances, not being able to use our political free speech. I mean, yeah, sure, they've given you the right to free speech so long as nobody hears it. And that's the problem I've got here. Well, this comes down to a story that just happened in Denver, Colorado. John W. McCain was in Denver for a meeting at one of those town halls, you know, where they get the people in for the town hall, at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. And this was billed as an event called Open to the Public. Well, this woman, a 61-year-old librarian, came with a sign that said McCain equals Bush. And she was arrested by police for trespassing. The officer said, quote, "You have two choices. You can keep your sign here and receive a ticket for trespassing, or you can remove the sign and stay in line and attend this town hall meeting." For a sign, a 61-year-old librarian, sign says McCain equals Bush, which I really don't understand, because if you're running for the Republican nomination, isn't that a good thing? Don't you want to be like the president? Very interesting. I'm Radical Russ. Stick around. We'll be right back. Coming up with Jay Lakin on the phone talking about internet gambling. This is the Russ Belville Show.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. This is the Russ Belville Show.
I know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealings.
Welcome back to the Russ Belville Show. It is 22 after the hour, and we're going to talk a little bit about gambling with our special guest, Jay Lakin, who is the co-owner and vice president of PokerSourceOnline.com. Jay, welcome back to the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, Russ, thanks very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Hey, last time we had you on the show, we had some bills that you were bringing up about internet gambling that would kind of restrict people's rights as far as being able to play poker and such online. What's the latest status on that situation?
Well, just for those listeners that weren't here the first time, the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act got stuck onto the Safe Ports bill at the last minute back in September of 2006. Most senators didn't even know they were voting on it when they did. The Safe Ports bill passed 98-2, and with its passage, the UIGEA went into effect, which prohibits the transfer of funds from U.S. banks, U.S. credit card companies, to internet gambling sites, basically making it impossible for Americans to fund their online gambling accounts. You can gamble online. There's only really 12 states that have books on the law against that. Louisiana and Washington are the two most egregious, but most states allow you to gamble online. The problem is that you can't get money into your online gambling account. Now, the most recent legislation that was trying to undo that was House Resolution 5767. It was titled the Safe and Secure Internet Gambling Initiative. It was co-authored by Representatives Barney Frank and Ron Paul, one Democrat, one Republican. It would basically have prohibited the Treasury and the Federal Reserve from implementing the UIGEA. It went up for a vote about a week and a half ago. The final was 32-32. Ties lose in committee. Mm-hmm. 28 of the yeas were Democrats, 28 of the nays were Republicans. So it pretty much split right down party lines.
So at this point in America, then, people cannot fund their internet gambling with United States credit card accounts. Is that the status then?
Well, for the most part. I mean, you know, where there's a will, there's a way.
Oh, sure.
And young men, especially college-age young men, who are the majority of the online poker players, have figured out a way around it. They've discovered that if they go to the local CVS or Walgreens and buy one of those prepaid phone cards, those will work.
Oh.
They've discovered that a lot of online poker rooms will accept an e-check.
Yeah.
They've also discovered that if you belong to a very small bank, a community bank, not your B of A's or Wachovia's, but small community banks don't have the wherewithal to police the internet like the bigger banks do. Mm-hmm. So if you have a MasterCard or Visa through one of them, a lot of times that'll go through.
There are
ways around it, and you know, there at any given moment, Russ, there's over 125,000 people playing poker on PokerStars, and I would bet you that over half of them are Americans.
Oh, sure. And you know what I don't get about this is you'd think that the big credit card companies, the big banks, would want to make some of that, you know, money that they could make through this.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, let's face it. I mean, they get a transaction fee.
Sure.
Every time money goes through their bank.
Okay,
there would be money going into the poker room. There'd be money when it was coming out of the poker room.
Sure. So there's, you know, there's obviously big industries that would be for it. So what is the overt answer that the politicians give for wanting to ban these activities? You know, what is their official answer? And then in your opinion, you know, what's really behind the scenes?
Well, I mean, you know, the John Kyle, the Bill Frists, the right-wing Republicans that have been the ones in the forefront of this will tell you that they're looking out for the children.
Oh, it's all for our own good.
It's all about the children.
Right.
We have to protect the children. But what they don't mention is that
children
they carved
don't play
out
poker, as far as I know, do they?
Well, not that I'm aware of. None that I've ever seen. I mean, I did when I was five, but that was with my brothers in our kitchen.
Hey, maybe you should open an online Uno room.
Well, what they don't like to mention is that they carved out fantasy sports, online lotteries, and horse racing. Basically telling the American public, hey, if you want to drop $1,000 on a horse at Churchill Downs via your laptop, we don't have a problem with that. But if you want to play 1 cent, 2 cent Texas Hold'em, we can't allow that. Now, last time I was at a racetrack, they didn't have any 1 cent pari-mutuel winners.
No, not at all. So it's just competing industries here that, you know, the politicians are being squeezed by, say, what, maybe brick-and-mortar casino industry?
The Indian casinos were behind it. I understand that the NFL owners were behind it. Obviously, the Fat Cat racetrack owners were behind it. They didn't want the competition from online gambling. They wanted it all to themselves. They lined some pockets, probably. They took some folks to lunch, made campaign contributions, took them off to, you know, Scotland for golf outings, and got their little carve-outs. I mean, the sad part of it is that if the online poker rooms knew how Washington was played, knew how the game was played, they would have hired their own lobbyists. They would have created their own lobbying group like they have now, and maybe they would have gotten poker carved out as well. But, you know, they didn't know that you have to line pockets and grease hands to get things done in D.C.
Well, I find that, you know, any of these attempts to prohibit the activities that law-abiding, you know, adults, consensual adults want to engage in, anytime we try to prohibit that, people always find a way around it, and there's all these unintended consequences. So, again, we're speaking with Jay Lakin, who's the co-owner and vice president of PokerSourceOnline.com. What can our listeners do if they're interested in supporting our rights to be able to spend our money any way we like?
Well, the best thing I would recommend is to go to a site called PokerPlayersAlliance.org. The Poker Players Alliance is an organization chaired by Alphonse D'Amato, the former New York senator. It's over 1 million members strong. They do a great job in keeping the public informed about the various laws, the various legislation, the different things that they can do as U.S. citizens to become part of a group. And there is strength in numbers in America. Become part of a group of folks that don't want Congress telling us what we can and can't do in the privacy of our homes and what we can and can't spend our hard-earned dollars on. And so the PokerPlayersAlliance.org is where I would start. Again, it's PokerPlayersAlliance.org.
All right. Well, Jay Lakin from PokerSourceOnline.com, thanks for joining us again here on the Russ Belville Show, and good luck to you in all your endeavors.
Hey, thank you, Russ. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
All right. You too. Yeah, I just don't understand why we try to prohibit people from, you know, just wanting to engage in online gambling. I understand there's people that have problem gambling, but we can solve that. 29 after.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
They did their best. Shoddily, Italy, Italy, diddly. Gotta be nice. Hostility, diddly, diddly, diddly. Ah, hell, diddly, ding, dong, crap. Can't you morons do anything right?
Hey, welcome back to the Russ Belville Show. It's 35 after the hour, and wow. You know, we got a little bit of serendipity happening here, a little bit of coincidence here in Portland, Oregon. This week here on our local news stories, we had an anti-war group that was trying to put up a billboard that was kind of an anti-Iraq war billboard. And what it did is it was meant to draw attention to the children that are suffering, the Iraqi children that are suffering through this war. And it wasn't, you know, gross or extreme, this billboard. It was just a picture of an Iraqi woman with her child running away from where there's recently been an explosion. And the Iraqi kid, you know, has tears and he looks a little scared. And Clear Channel, the major media conglomerate here that owns so many billboards around the country and around Portland, banned that billboard. They wouldn't take that billboard. They just banned it. And so, speaking of censorship and free speech, that's a really kind of a coincidental topic, because, all right, we've got a very special guest here on the Russ Belville Show. Joining us from his home in California is Harry Shearer, the actor. You may know him as a voice actor on The Simpsons, the voice of Mr. Burns, Waylon Smithers, Ned Flanders, etc. But I've got to say, as a young kid who grew up playing the bass guitar, he will always be Derek Smalls to me. Harry Shearer, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Thank you. I'm still Derek Smalls.
You're still Derek Smalls, absolutely. My show is in danger of being trodden on by a dwarf here. So, growing up as a kid, I played in the orchestra as well, and so your role in A Mighty Wind was also a lot of fun for me.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, really enjoyed that. Now, the reason I wanted to talk to you today on the show, I had noticed in your column on the Huffington Post and some advertising there on the Huffington Post that you have a new album out called Songs of the Bushman.
Yeah.
Before we get to the controversy, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about what Songs of the Bushman is about?
Well, you know, the two pieces of work you mentioned, Spinal Tap and
Mighty Wind.
Mighty Wind. Thank you very much. Forgetting the names of my own movies. Really got all of us, Christopher, Michael, and me, but especially me, I guess, interested in doing more musical projects. And I've been writing songs for my radio show, Le Show, which is heard on XM somewhere around the dial, and as well as on public radio stations around the country. And I've been doing that for a while, and last year I did a record that was Grammy-nominated, which is almost as good as being Grammy-nominated. it's literally almost as good as being Grammy-nominated. And I just got it into my head, an idea for the next record, which was songs about a lot of the people that have been working in the Bush administration, some of them kicking them as they're on their way out, and some of them kicking them while they're still there. And then the title occurred to me, and I thought, well, yeah, of course.
Excellent.
That's going to tick people off. Why not do that?
Very good. And we're speaking with Harry Shearer, whose album is called Songs of the Bushman. It's all about the Bush administration, satirical music. It's also available out there at Amazon.com at this point on a pre-release. And iTunes, yeah, as a release there. And so the cover, I really liked the advertisement when I saw it on Huffington Post, because cover is a, you know, your stock picture of George W. Bush, but to go along with the Bushman theme, he has a bone in his nose. So,
yes, sir, he does.
I thought that was very clever.
It doesn't affect his sound at all, you know.
Still the same Texas drawl,
still,
right?
Still the same, yeah.
Yeah, and but now this is where the controversy comes in,
yeah.
In that some people didn't like your album cover.
Well, you know, I was trying to, I'm not only a recording artist, I help to run the record company, and I was thinking that since we had this great piece of cover art, thanks to Brian Porizek, who designed it, I thought that that would be the best advertising for the record. And I'd noticed driving around L.A. that there are these digital billboards which sort of change message as you look at them. And what I'd wanted to do was, for the first week, have just the image with no explanation of it to sort of get people's attention. And then next time you saw it, there was an explanation, oh, it's a record by this guy. So digital billboards seemed to sort of fall into that category, because you could change the message without having to pay a guy to go up and repaint the sign. So we bought a week's worth in Chicago for the first run, where you just saw the image, and then another week's worth where you'd see the information. And they took our money and, you know, were very nice and said, oh, would you like to buy any more cities? And I said, no, I can't afford it. And they're just this very amiable, but salesman amiable, very, you know, kind of ootsy and enthusiastic, until the day of the art was supposed to go up, and they received the art from our designer, and the tone turns from, you know, salesman accommodating to angry schoolmarm. I'm sorry, this art is just not acceptable. Will you please supply replacement art immediately?
Oh, no.
Yeah, and well, there was, and I looked at the contract that we'd signed, and there was nothing in it about, you know, Clear Channel, which is the company that owns the billboards, of course, has the right to censor it, or, you know, has any standards that you have to meet. So it was just a purely arbitrary response on their part, which, of course, they're the kings of arbitrary response. But, you know, what's interesting to me is, even just a normal risk-averse American corporation looks at the public opinion polls and says, gee, he's down to 29%. Maybe it's safe now to do this. So, you know, Clear Channel, not even that distinguished, basically falls into the category of what Donald Rumsfeld once referred to as the dead enders.
Yeah, the base, the haves and
the
have-nots.
Yeah, the base. not in the Derek Small sense either.
No, not in the good, not that's, in the big bottom
that's,
kind.
That's what I guess Spinal Tap would call small bottom.
Small bottom, that's right. So we're speaking with Harry Shearer here about his album Songs of the Bushmen that's been banned on the Clear Channel billboards out there. Now, just for some background on this too, right? Clear Channel was the company behind banning a lot of the music right after 9/11. I remember they had a blacklist.
Yeah, they had a blacklist playlist of songs that couldn't be played anymore, and I think they were leading the charge against the Dixie Chicks, and, you know, they're good people.
Oh yeah. Sanitizing our consumption so we don't have to worry our pretty little heads with tough images and tough questions.
I think they were also the people who sort of led the way, along with Mel Karmazin, for increasing the number of commercials that you could play each hour on terrestrial radio, which is why we're all listening to satellite radio now.
Exactly. And that blacklist that they had, I remember when they did that one of the, of course, the Dixie Chicks were on there and a lot of other anti-war anthems and stuff, but one of the songs on their blacklist was John Lennon's Imagine.
Yeah.
Ooh,
well, they didn't
scary.
Want people doing that.
Yeah, we can't have people imagining
that. Imagine.
That's terrible. Now, are you planning any particular performances or appearances in support of this album? Is there any sort of tours that you're going to be doing?
I don't think there'll be a tour. There may be. We've had an offer to do a gig in Seattle in mid-August at Jazz Alley, and I'm trying to figure out if I can round up musicians in August. And if so, I'd do that, and maybe a couple more, maybe one in L.A., but not a proper tour. I think in Spinal Tap we kind of pointed out the rigors of touring.
Oh yeah.
And it's just I don't really have the time or the vocal cords to do a real strong full on tour, because I'm the lead vocalist on every track on the record except one, the Condoleezza. The songs are written kind of largely in the voices, both vocally and brain-wise, of the people I'm writing about. So I'm rather than just standing on the outside and throwing rocks at them, I'm trying to get inside their heads to a certain extent. So the Condoleezza Rice song is sung by Judith Owen, and it's sort of a plaintive song about how she, you know, befriended George Bush on his, you know, as they were doing exercises together in the White House basement. And he thought that meant, you know, she was in until she realized Dick Cheney had a bigger in.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, again, we're speaking with Harry Shearer, and the album is Songs of the Bushmen, and we'll all run out and get that just to kind of stick it in the eye of Clear Channel. And along that same line, I'm rebroadcast on a number of terrestrial Clear Channel stations, so this will be a lot of fun.
God, love them.
Yeah, let's see how
they're
this
the
turns
best.
Excellent. And you know, I'm thinking back also to my life. You know, before I got into radio, I also played a lot of professional music and toured around the Pacific Northwest, and I never had the gig at the Air Force Base like you guys did, but we did have a gig at an Air Force Base one time out in Mount Home, Idaho, where they had expected kind of a large Earth, Wind, and Fire style funk band, and
Sure.
We were a little three-piece blues band, and that was a lot of fun. So, so
we got close to that. We did a gig at Beacon Theater in New York. When we last toured in 2000 as Tapped, but we also opened for ourselves as the Folksmen.
Oh, great.
And the crowd didn't get it because Mighty Wind hadn't come out yet. So the crowd was a tap crowd, and they really had no idea who these three old bald guys were playing folk music. And they started clapping and yelling, "Tap, tap, tap, tap." And, of course, we're totally in character, and we can't stop and say, "No, you don't understand. We're those guys. We just look different. We're doing a different joke." So we thought we were doing a joke about being the inappropriate opening act, and we turned out to get it with both barrels.
Yeah, could have maybe launched into a folk cover of Stonehenge or something.
Yeah.
Maybe give them the clue. Well, Harry Shearer, thank you for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show, and we hope that your album does really well. I always hate to see it when people are, you know, trying to squelch free speech, but I guess they are a business. They can do what they want.
Yeah, you know, I was sort of intrigued about it because, you know, I don't know about Chicago, but in Los Angeles, you kind of have to get some kind of city approval to put up billboards. In a lot of cases, and I was just wondering if they weren't trampling on some Chicagoans' rights there or something. But not being a Chicagoan, I have no dog in that fight. But anyway, thank you, Russ. Pleasure.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it. All right, it's 46 after the hour, and this is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back with our Lunatic Fringe.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
We're still waiting for Bill O'Reilly's response to our Lufa Joust and Falafel Off. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, yeah, 51 after the hour, getting ready for that falafel off any day now. And, of course...
Come on, O'Reilly.
Come on, O'Reilly.
We are calling you out.
Man.
I will take your loofah, your falafel, whatever you want to call it, you big loofah. Yeah.
We would also offer big thanks to Harry Shearer for joining us on the show.
That was so cool.
That was a lot of fun talking
it
to him.
Really was.
I tell you, I hope my nervousness didn't show because, he's like a total idol to me, being a kid growing up who played bass. You know, I was in... high school in 1984, playing bass in the jazz band when Spinal Tap came out.
Wow.
So that was a big moment for me. But we're kind of up against the clock, so we better get right to it.
The lunatic is on the grass.
Now it's time for our weekly roundup of the right wing's altered reality.
The lunatic is on the grass.
From the Guano Loco neocon chicken hawks to the hypocritical American Taliban. And the cable news punditocracy. The Russ Belville Show presents.
Got to keep the loonies on the pot.
The Lunatic Fringe Award, an award dedicated to the politician, pundit, or preacher who said the most ignorant, hateful, or bizarre quote of the week. And we got a full stable of lunatic fringery today.
Hear that? That's me rubbing my hands with anticipation.
Oh, yes, sir. We're going to start off with the loofah boy himself. That's right, Bill O'Reilly, talking about the need to drill for oil offshore because we so desperately need that oil that'll be available 10 years after we start drilling. We got to drill offshore, and it's completely safe because no oil ever spills when they have these offshore oil wells in a hurricane, do they?
You're right that you have to have a sane environmental policy when it's 25 miles offshore that no one will see, and you've got technology that will prevent pollution. Remember when Katrina hit, none of the oil rigs spilled in Louisiana. So we have the technology.
The when Katrina hit, none of the oil rigs spilled. Well, according to a 2007 report prepared by the U.S. Minerals Management Service, Hurricane Katrina resulted in 70 spills from outer continental shelf structures with a total volume of approximately 5,552 barrels of oil and petroleum products, including 27 spills from platforms and rigs that resulted in the spilling of approximately 2,843 barrels of petroleum. So big, fat, bald-faced Bill O'Reilly lie. Let's move on to our next one. This is Chris Matthews from Hardball. Real subtle one here. Chris Matthews, real quick, just doing a tease to his Hardball show. See if you can catch it.
Up next, the working-class white voters Hillary Clinton won and Barack didn't. Can Obama now win over the regular folks, white folks, against John McCain? We'll ask the strategist. You're watching Hardball. Can Obama now win over the regular folks, white folks?
Yeah, the regular folks, the white folks, not the irregular folks. No, not those folks with darker skin. Us regular white folks. Yeah, okay, Chris, a little bit of fringery there. Now, for some true lunatic fringery, we got to go to G. Gordon Liddy. You remember old Watergate indicted felon G. Gordon Liddy, his radio show.
Oh, you're bringing
out
the big guns this week.
That's right, the big guns. And he's talking about Barack Obama had a speech in which he extolled the virtues of multiculturalism and the virtues of learning more than one language and expressed how we ought to be encouraging our children to learn other languages, particularly Spanish, since by 2050, Hispanics will be one of the largest, you know, minority groups here in America. So this is G. Gordon Liddy on speaking Spanish.
But think about that. He wants you to be sure that your child can speak fluent illegal alien. Sadly, with every legal and cultural step we take to make our life more immediately convenient for non-English-speaking illegal aliens, we merely feed the beast. And you've just heard Barack Obama insisting that we all teach our children Spanish. Well, not mine. No way. But none of us here, so far as I know, speak illegal alien.
Yeah, illegal alien, like it's a language that all illegal immigrants speak. They all speak illegal alien. Yeah, the Thai immigrants and the Vietnamese immigrants and the Latvian immigrants and all those guys coming in from the former Soviet republics and the East Bloc, all speaking illegal alien.
Russ, yeah. No me gusta.
No me gusta. And this is the thing about this. It always kills me in this debate about English and English only is it's always the Spanish speakers they're talking about. Nobody ever seems to want to go picket in Chinatown when you got all those Chinese clerks in there that are speaking Chinese in their businesses and have all their Chinese customers. Apparently, those languages are okay. It's the Spanish we've got a problem with. Now, one of the guys here in the Lunatic Fringe that speaks a lot about that is a local guy. He's also got a national show. You may have seen him on MSNBC as well, Lars Larson out here in the Pacific Northwest. Out here in Oregon, we have an initiative petition we're putting around to legalize the sale of marijuana in liquor stores and to check people's IDs. One of his callers had a theory about what marijuana might do to you.
I asked the doctor who's a scientist about that, and he says it does bring down the testosterone levels in men, marijuana does.
But does that mean that the people who smoke it don't reproduce?
Well,
that might be handy.
Yeah, smoking marijuana will keep you from reproducing. That's why the Jamaicans all died out. Yeah, that's why there's no more Rastafarians. That's why hippies don't have any kids. That's why after the Summer of Love, the American population went down. What are you, an idiot? But one more, our winner today, I got to give it to this guy, Phil Graham. You know what he's been talking about, you whiners out there.
No politician can talk about, well, things are not as bad as you think, because that sounds like they don't care. And yet, you just hear this constant whining, complaining about our loss of our competitiveness, America in decline. We've never been more dominant. We've never had more natural advantages than we have today. We've sort of become a nation of whiners.
So Phil Graham, for demonstrating a Barbara Bush-like understanding of poverty and the sympathy of Marie Antoinette, you are the winner of this week's... Oh, yeah, and we're going to be talking about that when we come back from the break and taking your calls at 888-7-RADICAL. Are you a whiner?
Stop whining.
Are you in a mental recession?
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ, now the Russ Belville Show, streaming at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
Zone called America. The weekend home for truly radical progressives. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Russ Belville Show here on XM Satellite Radio and a terrestrial station near you. Six after the hour, glad to have you here. We got plenty of things to talk about today, and we had ended our last segment with our subject for this segment. That's right, we're talking about you whiners out there, all you American whiners.
And stop whining.
We're also talking with our board operator out in Washington, D.C. Stevie Lee's behind the boards out there taking your calls at 888-7-RADICAL. Stevie, we're a bunch of whiners here in America.
Stop whining.
We're a bunch of whiners. That's what we are.
And you know what? The British are going to be so angry because they used to have number one spot for whiners of the world.
Really?
And now apparently we're not even good at that anymore. Taking over again.
You're number two. That's
now
right.
Number two again. Hey, watch that.
That's right.
So nobody calls me number two.
Yeah. We're 888-7-RADICAL if you want to get on the line, because right now it's time for us to talk about living in America. Neocon regressives like to say that we liberals hate America first. I like to say we liberals love America most. That's why we're so disappointed in how badly regressives trash her reputation and treat her people. So today, we help our leaders focus on the plight of the little guy by taking our look at... Now, that's not whining. That's James Brown.
Wow! That's not whining. That's music. That's art.
That's a beautiful thing.
It is.
But what isn't a beautiful thing are the recent comments by former Texas Senator Phil Graham, who is also the economic advisor to the John W. McCain campaign, and also being considered by John W. McCain as a leading candidate for the Treasury Secretary. So this is somebody who's supposed to have a great economic mind, knows all about what's going on in America and what's going on in our pocketbooks. And if you haven't heard it, this is what he had to say about you guys out there. You people who are paying $4.25 for gas. You people who are having your homes foreclosed on. You people who have seen the price of eggs skyrocket. You guys that can't find a job and don't have the gas to go find one, even if you could find one. This is what Phil Graham has to say about you.
No politician can talk about, well, things are not as bad as you think, because that sounds like they don't care. And yet, you just hear this constant whining, complaining about our loss of our competitiveness, America in decline. We've never been more dominant. We've never had more natural advantages than we have today. We've sort of become a nation of whiners.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from some of you whiners out there, 888-7-RADICAL, if you want to do a little whining about your economic situation.
ARRR.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the only thing that our friend Phil had to say this week. Yeah, he had this to say as well.
I want you to start living as a gay woman. And I want you to start having a gay relationship.
Thanks, Dr. Phil.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand that one, but all right.
Dr. Phil Graham.
Oh, I got Dr. Phil. That's
it's
right.
Dr. Phil Graham.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Okay.
He's a man of much wisdom.
Yeah.
Whiner. Yeah, you don't get it because you're just a whiner, aren't you?
That's
Stop whining.
I got to quit whining. And this is part of their theory. This is part of their campaign strategy here. They know the economy is in the toilet, right? You know, you can believe what they say, or you can believe your own lying eyes, looking at your declining paychecks, looking at the increasing cost to fill up your tank. You know what's going on out there. You don't need any politicians to tell you that the American people are hurting. And the Republicans know this. So they're trying to fool you. It's that old Jedi mind trick. These aren't the droids you're looking for. This isn't the recession you think it is. It's all part of the Jedi mind trick, folks. Don't buy it. It ain't
Luke,
true.
Luke,
they want to fool you long enough.
Don't be a whiner, Luke.
They want to fool you long enough so that you're not paying attention, so that you won't vote your pocketbook. And that's their goal here, is to try to think it's your fault, that somehow you're the one who's got the problem and everyone else is just doing hunky-dory. We saw this from Fred Barnes, another one of these conservative commentators on Fox News, talking about how, yes, indeed, we are a nation of whiners.
We haven't had a recession. You know, people think we're in a recession. They claim about how bad the economy is, and it's weak, no question about that, although I see now they have record sales at Costco and Walmart. People are out there right through this downturn spending like mad. And the other part was the mental, what was the other part besides a mental recession?
A
nation of whiners. Well, I think that I rest my case on that. America has become a nation of whiners. It was very impolitic. It was also true.
The nation of whiners part is not necessarily true. American people aren't whining. They're trying to do the best they can. And
they're whining all the way through it.
Oh, Fred.
They're whining all the way through it. Want to hear from you whiners? Come on, let's get some whining going on here. 888-7-RADICAL if you want to do some whining. Yeah, Fred Barnes, it's kind of ironic in his little quote there how he talks about there's record sales at Walmart and Costco. Yeah, that's because people can't afford to shop anywhere else. They got to go to Costco and buy in bulk because they can't go down to the local store anymore and afford the same things. God, that's like saying, you know, because the sales at the dollar store went up, so America must be doing just fine, huh? Oh, these guys. Mike Gallagher, radio host, another one of these right-wingers.
Don't think for one moment that the whiny news media and the gloom and doom pundits in the mainstream press aren't impacting the way
people
are viewing the
economy. Absolutely
they
do. But
of course there are people who are struggling, but to make it sound like we're ready to have people jump off the 30th floor down on Wall Street and plummet like we're in the Great Depression era of the 1929 is ridiculous. It's not that bad. Phil Graham put it best, misery sells newspapers.
Yeah, misery sells newspapers. It's all the media. The media is trying to get you to feel bad about that $4.25 gas. It's the media that wants you to feel bad about your house getting foreclosed on. It's the media that wants you to feel bad because you got laid off of your job. It's all the media's fault, right? Has nothing to do with the past 7.5 years of GOP-controlled Republican trickle-on economics. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's because you're a whiner. You're just a whiner. Now, John W. McCain tried to distance himself from these comments by Phil Graham. However, he's just as guilty. He's been peddling this same Jedi mind trick line, you know, this isn't the recession you're looking for. He's been peddling that same line for months now. Back in April, when asked about the economic woes, John W. McCain wanted to tell us it was all just psychological.
I think psychologically, and a lot of our problems today, as you know, are psychological, confidence, trust, uncertainty about our economic future, ability to keep our own home. This might give him a little psychological boost.
Yeah, psychological. It's all in your head. Let's go to the phones for a little bit of whining at 888-7-RADICAL, our first call here. Jason in Corpus Christi, Texas. Jason, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have to say that to some degree I agree with Mr. Graham. I've been thinking this long before it became an issue, and before he said it, just as I watch what's going on, it's bad. Times are tougher than what we've seen in the last 15 years or so. But I remember the early 80s when my family was poor, and most families were. And
so you don't think, you think people are whining, and you don't think that this is really as bad as people are making it out to be when
I really don't. I don't like it.
Okay.
But I've been a good squirrel. And a good squirrel's got to, you got to save your nuts.
Okay, so you did okay, so everybody else is just whining. You're doing okay, so it's just everybody else whining.
Well, I watched the average American buy a new car every 3 years since during my adult life, it seems. Everybody's got to have a big house. Everybody wants to make $100,000 flipping houses during the early 2000s. We're very, very spoiled.
Okay. So let me get your take on this. You don't think that in the past 6 months since the beginning of 2008 we've lost 438,000 jobs? That's not a troubling issue to you?
It's of course it's troubling. It's not good. But we're not going back to dark ages yet.
Okay.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
How bad does it have to get before our whining is justified?
You know, I don't think whining is ever justified.
Okay, so we just stiff upper lip it, and everything's okay, and we shouldn't complain.
Living in America, I don't think anybody has much to complain about.
All right.
If you do a little traveling around the world.
Well, that's true. I'll grant you that point. You're absolutely right. The poverty in some of the rest of the places of the world is extreme, and here in America, we're very, very lucky. But that doesn't discount.
Even developed countries in Europe. Wow, you know, I mean, the rich people there don't have near what the middle class do here. It's just, and they're so happy with living in small houses and driving tiny cars, or not having a car at all.
Oh, okay.
It's just, it's our standard of living. I think what we're used to has become what we demand, what we expect.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jason, for your call. I appreciate that opinion. Jason thinks that we are whining. We are, saying a little too much about this. We got to have a stiff upper lip and take it like a man. You got to get out there, be a squirrel, collect your nuts, and take care of business, I guess. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Even though food prices rose 4% in 2007, the fastest rise in 17 years, so people who are stuck on food stamps are able to eat less and less. I guess that's just a problem for those squirrels that didn't collect enough nuts, huh? This is the Russ Bell Show. Phone number 888-7-RADICAL. Let's talk about the whining. Are you whining? We got Alicia hanging on the line. We'll get to you right after the break. Stick around. This is the Russ Bell Show.
You're tuned to the Russ Bell Show. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. And 620KPOJ.com.
Call the Radical Hotline at 1-888-772-3422. This is the Russ Bellville Show.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's 21 after the hour. Glad to have you back here, all you whiners out there.
We sort of become a nation of whiners.
Bunch of nation of whiners out there. Just because housing foreclosures have gone up 50% in June compared to last year, just because in California they're foreclosing 500 homes on average per day, just because the homeless over the age of 50 are steadily increasing and healthcare costs are rising so fast that people are delaying their retirement just so they can keep healthcare benefits, just because gas is up to $4.25 and rising, and just because we've lost 438,000 jobs since the beginning of the year and employment's up to 5.5% and U.S. food prices are up 4%, the fastest rise in 17 years, and heating oil costs are up 60%, and your wages are declining, and inflation is rising, and the dollar is declining. Just because of all that, that doesn't mean you need to whine about it. I mean, gosh, things are great here in America. At least you're not sifting through a garbage dump in Shanghai, China, right? Let me know how you feel about it. Phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. Are we a nation of whiners, or did Phil Graham really blow it with that comment? We're going to go to Chandler, Arizona now and speak with Alicia on the phone. Alicia, welcome to the Russ Bellville Show.
Hey, thanks.
So,
well, I am actually calling to whine about the lack of determination of the American public to actually get out and get active. We all like to call in the radio, and this is the first time I'm calling a radio program, so I'm a bit of a hypocrite, but at least I'll admit it. You know, it's not that difficult to find out about your local chapters of the Progressive Democrats of America, the PDA organization, any of your just the local meetings that people can go to discuss issues in their neighborhood, to try and get in touch with their local congressmen or their lawmakers, to, you know, we elect them, but then we don't tell them what we want. And then we wonder why it is we're in the situation we're in now with they're running the show and we're just sitting back enjoying the ride.
Absolutely. We got to reassert the power of the people. And I think this most recent problem that we had with the FISA capitulation really highlighted that, you know, I think a lot of these Democrats looked out to the American people hoping that there would be some outcry, some furor over this. And
ask how many people, you know, the callers you have call in. Nobody calls, nobody gets involved, and nobody does anything. And it's up to us as citizens. That is our duty to get involved with what our politicians are doing, what laws they're passing, what amendments they're making. They are train wrecking the Constitution and dragging it through the mud. And we all just sit by, and we're going to continue to elect the McCains and the Bushes. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to have another revolution. But on another point, I wanted to talk about, somebody mentioned Walmart a little while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
People ought to do their research on that company. They have something called a tax abatement program with the government where they collect sales tax from their customers, but they don't pay it to the government. They keep it. It's straight profit.
It's
something that's very alarming, and I never shop at Walmart. They don't get any of my money, and I try and encourage everybody I know to not shop there, but that's why you get such good deals there.
Well, don't you know, Alicia, that big, huge companies like Walmart and the oil companies, they need breaks on their taxes, or else they'd go out of business, you see.
Oh, you know, then the whiners are the shareholders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to talk about whiners.
They don't make quite as much money, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, stop being a corporate consumer whore. Get out there and support your local small business and stop giving the big corporations your money. Find the gas stations that aren't Shell, aren't Mobil, aren't Exxon, aren't the big guys. You know, they're out there. They're small and they're hard
to find.
They're not as convenient to get to. But we got to take a stand. We got to take this country back, and that's the first step.
That's right. Citgo gasoline stations and Sinclair gas stations, as far as my knowledge, and I think there's a couple others, don't use a single drop of oil from the Middle East. Thank you so much, Alicia, for your comments.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
That. And let's move on here. We've got Rob in Los Angeles, California. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
Good. Good. I guess the comment I wanted to make, I was just listening to the last caller. I mean, I find there's so many really intelligent progressives out there who can look at the issues in their complexity and really try to understand them. The thing that bothers me and that frustrates me so much is how the right wing, the conservatives, frame these issues. They use words like whiners, and we buy into it. And they get us calling the American public and calling ourselves whiners. We're not whiners. They're lying. They're trying to frame the issues to control the debate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what frustrates me.
Yeah.
We're not whiners. We
are not whiners. We are American citizens reacting to a maladministration of our government and a destruction of our economy and constitution. It ain't whining. It's patriotism.
No. And to call it whining is a lie. And they are liars. And that's the facts. And it frustrates me to even repeat the word that they use, because they're controlling the debate, and it's just very destructive.
Sure. Now, what do you think about, I had a previous caller that talked about how, you know, part of why we're so-called whining here in America is because we got it so good, and we just don't know how bad and how poor things are in the rest of the world, and we should just shut up and enjoy the riches that we have.
Well, I think the caller has a point. Is we are very lucky, and we're very privileged, and like the last caller said, we can't take that for granted, and we've got to get involved in our local communities and in our politics and in social organizations and community organizations, because we can't take it for granted. We're very lucky. I just was lucky enough to travel to India this last year and see incredible poverty and incredibly complicated economic and social situations over there, and it made me appreciate what we've got. We've got a great thing here, and we're not whiners. We should appreciate it. We should get involved, and
and deal with the facts and deal with the truth.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And that's what we try to do here on the Russ Belville Show. Rob, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your call there. And yeah, everyone who's calling in here at 888-7-RADICAL, lots of opinions on this. And regarding that idea of the poverty and how here in America we should just be counting our blessings and how good we have it. Well, of course we should. Absolutely. But this is what we call the difference between relative and absolute. Okay. In relative terms, yes, we are so much more rich than billions and billions of people in the world, and we shouldn't complain. If you're talking about the absolute value here, right? And, you know, the absolute levels of poverty, but the relative levels of poverty compared to where we just were 7.5 years ago, that's the problem I've got. It's comparing apples and oranges to talk about poverty in America versus poverty anywhere else in the world. Why should Americans' standard of living have to backslide is the point. Why should we be going backwards in the 21st century instead of doing more to ensure that more people in America can make it if they play by the rules, they can make it if they work hard, they won't get their pensions stolen out from under them by some greedy corporation, they won't be Enroned, and they won't be laid off. It's time to start thinking about the American people and what's best for them instead of what's best for the corporate bottom line or the shareholders. American people are what make this country great, and the people in charge of the capital need to understand that without labor, there is no capital. I'm Radical Russ. We'll take more of your calls coming up here in the next segment at 888-7-RADICAL. Thanks for joining us here. It's 29 after.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The voice of the everyday American. It's time for Radical Russ. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back to the show. 35 after the hour. The phones are lighting up here at 888-7-RADICAL. That's 888-772-3422. Over the comments of Phil Graham, the economic advisor for John W. McCain, who had this to say about us Americans.
We sort of become a nation of whiners.
We're a nation of whiners just because gas is expensive and food is expensive and homes are being foreclosed and people are losing their jobs and people don't have health insurance. We're all just a bunch of whiners.
I think psychologically, and a lot of our problems today, as you know, are psychological.
Our problems are just psychological. Get over yourselves, Americans. We have it good here, right? Well, let's go to the phones and see what you think about that here at 888-7-RADICAL. We're going to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we're speaking with Phil. Phil, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, Russ, love your show.
Thank you, sir.
And if this is a bit psychological, I think down here in the southeastern corner of the state, we have a reason to have psychological problems, noticing the fact that my two representatives in Washington are Bob Corker and Zach Womp.
Mm.
And I think that's enough reason. But what I really want to call in and do the whining gig about is this is also, I guess, the payday advance capital of the world and the title
loans, yeah,
of the world. And what there's a company down here that is running a commercial that shows this woman sitting in a doctor's office in a wheelchair. And it has this sign up, no insurance, no treatment. And she looks up and says, I got my title back at Title Max. Mm. And that's doggone it. That makes me so mad I could just bite a 10-penny nail in half.
Yeah, the idea here that you need to put your car up on in Hawk so that you can just get the health care you deserve. It's just that's what we got here going on in America as far as taking care of Americans who work hard and play by the rules.
We don't have the right to health care in this country, but we can have a closet full of AK-47s if we want it. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, talk about your right to life, huh? Talk about your pro-life.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy.
If you're in the womb, they'll take care of you. But once you're born, you're on your own, baby.
On your own, absolutely. And, of course, you did hear that John McCain did come out with his comprehensive health care program, I guess.
Oh, really?
Just say no to illness.
Just say no to illness. You win our Nail on the Head Award for the day. Thank you so much for your call, Phil. I appreciate that. Let's go up to Columbia, Maryland. Thank We're going to speak with Paul here in Columbia, Maryland. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, Russ, how you doing?
Good so far.
Listen, I don't even know where to begin with this. But let me just start by saying that the Bush administration is guilty of dereliction of duty, that we're not lucky in this country. What we have in this country is something that was set up by brilliant people. FDR saved us from the Depression with the New Deal. Every bank went bankrupt. There was no protection for people. FDIC, Social Security, Medicare, this is what's saving this country. And regulation that is reasonable and causes transparency from these corporate thieves is what saves this country. Not luck. It's mm-hmm. our leaders.
That's right. Santayana said it best when he said, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And I think we've just got, and this is what really surprised me about this, too, considering how many of these politicians and lawmakers, you know, you talk about John W. McCain being old enough to actually remember stories about the Depression from his parents and people who lived through the Dust Bowls. You know, I just saw, just getting up this morning preparing for the show, I didn't catch it all, but up on CNN they were talking about a bank failure. You know, a bank
that's
just failed.
That's right. In the
Thank
Mac.
You.
It's first. It's going to be more coming.
Yeah. And the another thing I had here in my notes here had to do with one of the CEOs. The CEO of the Bank of America said, you know, in respect to the 5.5% unemployment and the 438,000 lost jobs this year, he says if employment continues to rise, quote, all bets are off, end quote. This is the CEO of Bank of America saying all bets are off. Time to buy gold. Time to stock up on water, folks. It might get a whole lot worse before it gets better. Thank you for your call, Paul. I appreciate that. Let's move on to the great heartland, the city of the big shoulders, the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois, and our good friend Dave from Chicago. Dave, welcome back to the show.
What's happening, Russ? I heard your interview with Harry Shearer. It was terrific. You made the funniest guy on the planet laugh out loud. Not bad.
Not too bad, huh?
Yeah. Let's take the right wing's look at Flight 93. Bunch of whiners sat in their seats and went to their deaths, right?
Right. Bunch of whiners.
So, they got up and they fought back and they kicked some ass using their argument, all right?
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to drop in there.
All right. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that call. The phone number here is 888-7RADICAL. That's 888-772-3422. We're talking about Phil Graham, one of John W. McCain's top economic advisors, saying this about our economic woes.
We sort of become a nation of whiners.
And John W. McCain says it's all in our head.
I think psychologically, and a lot of our problems today, as you know, are psychological.
Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to speak with Alan about our psychological problems. Alan, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, Russ. I enjoy the spirited conversation. I just wanted to call and say just a couple things. One, I do think that, you know, when you get in a situation with oil prices, I think, you know, T. Boone Pickens is his, he is showing right now what has made America great. He is a problem solver. The guy, he made his riches, you know, through oil, and now he's trying to come up with some solutions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need. Cart's in the ditch. How do you get the cart out of the ditch? Well, you start conversation, and then you figure out a way to get it out. That's what's made this country great. And I got to call you on an earlier comment. You know, you mentioned, food prices going up and someone on food stamps. Listen, man, we're out here. I'm a middle class person. My wife's a school teacher. Maybe we need, that's not what made this country great, was people sitting around on food stamps.
What made this country great
is people getting out there, innovation, creating jobs, small business, which employs 70% of Americans, large corporations that the liberals want to gripe about. Only employ 30% of Americans.
That's true. Now, let me get back to your comment about food stamps. Hold on just a second. I want to talk about the food stamp issue here because I'm a kid who grew up and was fed because of food stamps. So this is an issue that rings pretty true to me. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about, you know, what your, you know, characterization of people who are on food stamps sitting around just waiting for a handout. I'm not going to deny there are people that do fraud. Okay. If people do fraud on any system out there, that's just human nature. But by and large, the great majority of people who are on food stamps are working for a living. They're out there. They've got two or three jobs working for a living. Or we're talking about people who have lost their jobs and are going back to job retraining. They're in school or in college and can't go to work while they're in college, and they get by on food stamps. And furthermore, people who are on food stamps, the very, very large majority of those people are only on them for 6 months to 2 years. It's a very short time.
That's what I'm talking about. You just proved my point.
Well, okay.
My point. You just
what you just said, you've got your own radio show now. My goodness, you're the American dream, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. That's really great there.
I enjoy the spirited talk, but change and contacting your politicians, that is what's going to, you know, get us off of 80% dependency upon the Arab nations, killing demand, to quote, T. Boone Pickens, and to also quote, other folks, if you stay, even if you're on the right track, if you stay exactly where you are, you're still going to get run over.
That's so absolutely right. Thank you for your call. I got other calls I got to get to. Appreciate the conversation there. I better leave that one alone for now. Let's go back to the phones and to my neck of the woods up here in Washington State. We're going to speak with Jim. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, what city are you in, Jim?
What city?
Yeah.
Tenino, Washington.
Tenino, thank you.
About 10 minutes south of Olympia.
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know how to spell it. What can I say?
That's okay. So what's on your mind there?
Basically, I just wanted to convey my thoughts is that we are whiners. And we just are because I'm an Obama supporter and this Graham guy, I don't know, I heard what he said. And the truth of the matter is that we got ourselves in this situation economically. We are the ones who live on credit cards and we are the ones that have the situation in this country whereby we're getting foreclosed on because we're living beyond our means. And we've been brought up that way and programmed that way as United States citizens. But we bought the program and it was our choice to do that. And now it's inevitable. It's got to happen at some point.
So the chickens have come home to roost is what you're saying.
It's starting to happen now. And so we have to say, you know what? I live beyond my means. And now it's time to suck it up a little bit and get tough and ride this out, and we'll see it on the other side. And then maybe we'll learn our lesson and not live on other people's money and live off of money that we're borrowing, credit cards.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting opinion. I'm up against the clock. I got to take a break here, but I appreciate your opinion. Thanks for calling in, and I've got plenty to say about that opinion, but I'll save it for after the break. This is the Russ Belville Show. The phone number is 888-7-RADICAL. That's 888-772-3422. It's a quarter up, and we'll be right back.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. OJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Continue the conversation with Radical Russ online. Visit RadicalRuss.com and email RadicalRuss@gmail.com.
Welcome back. 50 after the hour, 10 minutes before the top of the hour, and we're talking to a nation of whiners.
We sort of become a nation of whiners.
I think psychologically, and a lot of our problems today, as you know, are psychological.
But we're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America. Gentlemen!
That's right. We're not going to let you sit here and badmouth the hardworking Americans out here who are just doing their best to get by in an economy ruined by the top 0.1% and their enablers in Washington, D.C. Welcome back to the Russ Belville Show. Phone number here is 888-7-RADICAL. That's 888-772-3422. I wanted to address a couple of points from previous callers, and I apologize. I don't usually like to, you know, have the discussion when you're still not on the line, but a couple things I just want to mention. Alicia in Chandler, Arizona had made a point about how we Americans need to get more involved, and absolutely, this stuff wouldn't be happening if the American people were screaming loudly enough about it. It's not the problem that we're whiners. It's the problem that we're not whining enough. We're not loud enough. We're not calling our senators and representatives enough. I wanted to make it a rule. I had this little thought that I wanted to make a rule that before you could call the Russ Belville Show, we would ask you if you have called your congressman and senator this week. And if you hadn't called, you don't get to get on the phone. But we decided not to go with that. So we hope you all have called your congressmen and representatives. Now, another point that was made here from a recent caller, Jim in Washington, was talking about how this is our chickens come home to roost. You know, we lived beyond our means. We lived on our credit cards. We overspent, and we lived too far above our means. And now it's the chickens coming home to roost, and we just got to suck it up and keep a stiff upper lip, blah, 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 blah. All I got to say to that is, you and who, Paleface? I mean, wasn't me living beyond my means. I've been scrimping and saving all my life, and a whole lot of Americans out there too don't even have credit cards, barely getting by on a 10 or 20 or 30 year old car that's falling apart. Kids that are going through their, you know, using the same pair of shoes for 2 years in a row because they can't afford to get new shoes. The people who have been living beyond their means are few and far between. And furthermore, when we talk about the people who have run up such outlandish credit card debt, a lot of those people are doing so because they don't have a lot of choice. They've got to pay their medical bills. They don't have medical insurance. They've got to pay for some groceries, and they just got laid off their job. Seems a little bit like a blame the victim mentality. All right, let's get back to the calls. We're going to go to McAllister, Oklahoma. We got Rick holding on the line, and thanks for holding for so long, Rick. Welcome back to the Russ Belville Show.
Thanks. Not a problem for holding. I kind of echo your sentiments on, you know, the majority of the people who are hardworking. And, yeah, the corporatization of America has screwed them.
Absolutely.
But you do have an awful lot of people, you know, upper middle class and on up, who are bitching because, you know, they're feeling the squeeze. And if all that materialism goes away, as far as I'm concerned, it's a good thing. You know, the planet can't stand it. You know, it can't take that kind of waste.
It's kind of like that idea that, you know, that the gas prices have gone up so much, and now, you know, people are cutting back on their driving and using less gas and not buying SUVs anymore. Are you saying it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like a tough lesson to learn, but we're learning it?
Yeah, you know, we've got to cut out the greed.
Okay.
One other comment.
Sure.
You know, everybody's used to the inexpensive price of food. And granted, right now, a lot of what's going on is speculation. But if you look at, say, a pound of coffee is a perfect example. People expect to pay next to nothing for it. And you've got some poor guy in South America in Colombia working for a corporation picking beans.
And not getting paid very much to do it.
And not getting paid. You know, if you want to look at what things really cost, you know, start buying fair trade.
That's a good point.
Make a living.
I got a lot of callers to get to, so thank you for your call there. Got just a few minutes here to wrap up some calls, so we're going to keep it quick. Let's go to Boston, Massachusetts. We got Bill hanging on the line. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hi, Russ. I've got a real big whine, and I think it's very justified.
All right.
It's with Mr. Dr. Dean's party. I love Dr. Dean.
Howard Dean, right?
He's a good guy.
Right.
Yes, Howard. But the whine is that we don't have enough crooks. Our crooks aren't as vicious as theirs. What few we have, our former crooks, I should say, because I don't believe any Democrats say crook. But we have nothing that would convince a reasonable person. There is nothing compelling to make us believe that we'll have honest elections and that it won't be stolen from us again. I don't want to hear about all kinds of other stuff, which is very important stuff, but not as important as at least having a chance in an honest election.
Yeah. You know, the people, it's like Stalin said, it's not the people's votes that matter, it's the people who count the votes that matter.
Absolutely. And we've seen it, what, two major elections so far. It's just outrageous. You know, we properly worry about the Constitution. We worry about the Supreme Court justices. We worry about... well, to be honest, the price of oil, even though I'm driving a Scion right now. But we darn sure better worry about democracy, about our votes.
I completely agree with you, Bill. Thank you for your opinion on that. I got to move on. Got some more callers. Yep. But, yeah, the voter-verified paper trails, we've got to get it so that our democracy is back in our hands and we can be assured that our votes really do count. All right, one more call here. Let's go out to Amarillo, Texas. Rick from Amarillo's got some more words of wisdom on T. Boone Pickens out there. A previous caller mentioned T. Boone. So, Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey,
Thank you, Russ. I got news for that boy. T-Bone Pickens is a scumbag. That's the guy that...
Don't hold back.
He funded the Swift Boat ads. He makes a lot of money. He's really invested in wind power and natural gas. And as far as Phil Graham goes, his wife was on FTC, slipped in the Enron loophole, and then went to work for Enron. And then Phil passed it through the Senate. He's the crookedest son of a gun that they ever served in the Senate. Like that, I don't really have a lot of feelings one way or the other.
Okay. Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate your call. Yeah, you just uncovered a whole lot of stuff in that, and then we could spend a whole hour on, you know, Phil Graham's connections and his wife slipping in the Enron loophole. Yeah, the really heavy-duty stuff there, and maybe we can cover that on another show. But we got to wrap things up here for the Russ Belville Show because we're just about out of time. As usual, we got 5 hours worth of show and 2 hours worth of airtime to do it in. I did want to mention the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act that we are working on here in the state of Oregon that would tax and regulate the sales of marijuana to adults over 21 in liquor stores. If you're interested in that and think it's kind of a good idea, check out CannabisTaxAct.org on the net. That's CannabisTaxAct.org. I'm heavily involved in that and we'll be doing a lot of media coming up here in the future. So thanks all for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show, your home for truly radical progressives. We're here every weekend, this same time, and on this same channel, every Saturday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the XM satellite and on your local stations. And send me an email, radicalruss@gmail.com. Check out the website, radicalruss.com. For Stevie Lee, I'm Radical Russ. Have yourself a great weekend.